Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Equip You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And with me today, I have my new friend, Deborah. Deborah, welcome to the Equip You in Grace podcast.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your life, marriage, ministry, and any ministry projects that you're working on, please?
Well, I live in outside Little Rock, Arkansas. So I live in the Deep South, and I'm married. We've been married. My husband and I have been married for, it'll be 35 years in October. He's been my chief encourager and support in my writing ministry. And we attend a church here called Bible Church of Little Rock. It's a Reformed Baptist church, and I love it. I'm very involved there. My history has been as a hospice nurse for almost 30 years. Wow. And so I've been around a lot of people with various problems, including this one and Alzheimer's, dementia. And then I am a resource for the people in our church and for the people that I know around here. Anytime people have end of life issues or parental issues, they'll call me. I do a lot of counseling over the phone, especially now with COVID and everything. But my main ministry has been in my written ministry. I've got 7 books published.
Wonderful.
I've got 4 that I'm trying to publish.
Oh, wow.
And okay. And I'm currently working on another one called A Quiet Confidence. And it's for Christian, the subtitle, I love this, From Christian Warrior to Christian Warrior. Do you like that, Dave?
Yeah.
Maybe we can do another podcast on that one when it comes out.
Sure, that'd be great. Who's going to publish that one?
I have no idea.
The Lord knows.
I write them and then I try to get them published. But
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. So my writing ministry has been in the area of theodicy, which is reconciling the goodness of God with pain and suffering we see in the world and answering the question, where is God in all of this? In fact, one of my books is called Where is God in All of This? Because people are asking that question more and more. Yeah. So my ministry has been coming alongside people who are suffering, people who are hurting, bewildered, and trying to move them beyond and always pointing them to Christ. And because he and his presence with us and his promises, those provide the solutions to just about every problem.
Amen. Amen. That's such an important thing that you're doing, because the problem of evil, I mean, it's all around us. And it does have a solution, as you said. So, I mean, amen. That's wonderful.
Especially since a lot of times it seems like evil is winning.
Yeah,
it's really nice to be able to remember, to read again, to solidify your beliefs in the promises that God has made.
Amen.
I've got this big window right here next to me. And every time I refer to God, I've noticed that I'm going, God. Because I always look out the window when I talk about God. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but if you see that, I'm looking, I'm talking about God, I'm going to be looking out this window.
You're looking out at God's wonderful creation that he made.
I am. It's beautiful out there.
Amen. Well, I know you wrote this book a little bit ago. It's called Help. Someone I Love Has Alzheimer's. Can you tell us why you wrote it and how has it been received so far?
I wrote it because I wanted to, like I said, come alongside those who were dealing with taking care of somebody who has Alzheimer's or dementia. And during this podcast, you'll notice that I refer to Alzheimer's or dementia interchangeably, even though Alzheimer's is one type of dementia. Usually the treatments, the warning signs, things like that are so similar that it's like a big, the umbrella is dementia and Alzheimer's, organic brain disorder, Lewy body. You know, there are so many different types of dementia, but they all follow fall under that umbrella of dementia. So I'm going to use those terms interchangeably. So when I mention Alzheimer's, that's really referring to other types of dementia as well. Both my parents had dementia, and my friend, one of my best friends, Judy Howe, she's my personal publisher for, I mean, editor for all my books. She's very gifted. She can take my books that I think are absolute perfection.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she points out things that I need to do differently, and she makes all my books better. But Judy also had problems with her parents with dementia, and Judy figured out a lot of things too. So we got together and we said, why don't we write a book about dementia and include in there the practical information and suggestions that we've learned working with our parents and maybe help others out there who are struggling with the same thing. So that was the goal in writing it, was to help people who are going through this, because it's a very, very difficult journey.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. You know, my mom has got diagnosed with Alzheimer's about a year ago, a year and a half ago. And it feels like she's definitely progressing. And then, you know, my dad was diagnosed, in 2012, and hasn't progressed as much. He has a neurodegenerative disease, which I guess I understand affects his mood and his anger and irritation. But, you know, it is hard, and we need help, you know, so thank you so much. I mean, I was going to say 30 years of doing that kind of hospice chaplain. I have a good friend at our church here who is a supervisor of hospice chaplains. And it's a tough thing. You know, he's often up late at night and doing that work. And it's a tough thing. You know, you guys need care and support too. And, you know, that's a real gift. You know, I know myself, I could never do that full time.
You have to do really is be able to have a soft and compassionate heart, because once you have names and faces to these people, you want to do everything you can to help them. And as a hospice nurse, I was able to do that. It's one of the most rewarding positions a person can have, because I've said this before and I've even written about it, but every day when I would come home from work, no matter how drained I was, I could say I made a difference in somebody's life today, the better. Mm. And that's very gratifying to know that God can use you. You know, we pray all the time, God, use me as a vessel for other people. And then when he does, it's like a blessing to you. It's like more a blessing to you than it is maybe to the people that you're ministering to. Mm. I loved being a hospice nurse.
That's wonderful. Praise God. How important is it that we view Alzheimer's through a biblical lens?
Well, actually, I think we should view everything through the lens of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Everything in our lives, everything in our relationships, I think we should view it all through Scripture. Because when you think about it, Dave, that's the only time that these adversities make sense, is when you can look at it through a lens like that and see a bigger picture. Because sometimes we see our lives like they are just like so, we're so involved with our little lives and all the things around us. We become egocentric. We think the world revolves around us. Yeah. When you read the scriptures, when you start looking at things through a biblical standpoint, viewpoint, you see that it's not all about you. It's about God, and it's about his plan unfolding. And the huge big picture that is incorporating. So that's why I think that everything should be looked at through the lens of Scripture, because that's, to me, the only way that any of it makes sense.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, when my dad first got diagnosed with dementia, I was studying Hebrews, and you know, we know that the precious promise in Hebrews 13 verse 5 and 9 about Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that was such a comfort to me in the midst of that, because, I mean, he doesn't change. He's unchanging. And so we can trust him. And that is, like you're saying, I mean, everything, you know, it's not just Alzheimer's or dementia. It's everything. There's a 20th century theologian Carl F. H. Henry. I don't know if you know him. He was the founding editor of Christianity Today, and helped found Fuller Seminary. And he talked about how a biblical world, it's not just a biblical worldview that we have, but it's a biblical life view. It's a biblical way of seeing things. And you just articulated that so well. So, yeah, it's really good. Well, why is one of the most effective ways of coping with adversity education?
Well, this is one of my themes throughout all my books. I'm glad you brought that one up, because I've got this big section in the book, Knowledge is Power. And in every book that I've written, they kind of combine instruction with devotional. And so they're all kind of like a combination of the two. But I think that knowledge is power, because if you know the enemy that you're facing, the more you know about that, the better you'll be able to respond to it. Mm. So I've always gone into, even in my nursing career with my families that I've worked with, if they know what they're dealing with right now, what is coming next, and what to do about that when that comes, well, that takes the chaos out of it. And instead of going, Lordy, Lordy, I don't know what to do, they go, okay, we're told, we knew this was coming, this is what we're supposed to do. And it replaces that chaos with calm. Things can be managed if you know what to expect and how to respond to it. So that's why I think it's so important to know the enemy. And if Alzheimer's here is the enemy, then we need to know as much as we can about that. And this little book that I've written, it's not an exhaustive study on the topic, but what it does is gives you the bottom line all the way down, helpful suggestions. It's very instructive. It tells you about what Alzheimer's is. What's the difference between that and normal signs of aging? It's important to understand these things. What is mild or moderate or severe dementia? How is that characterized? You know, the more you can learn, then the better off you are. And the practical suggestions that are made in here are very good and would help alleviate some of the frustration involved in taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, when my dad first got dementia, I started reading, and that was really hard, because then I realized, wow, this is what it's going to do. But then it settled in, and I was fine, and reading about it didn't bother me so much, didn't cause so much tears, and because it's hard, it's painful to realize that your dad is, or your mom is going to progress, and or your family member, that you love so much. It's hard, I think, for some people, some more than others, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. There becomes a stigma attached to it.
Yeah, it's
some ways it's sort of embarrassing, to admit.
Yeah, and then, but like what you're saying is, knowledge, it helps you to manage your expectations. It helps to, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, it helps to shrink the very large issue, because you understand, like you were saying, about what is happening, what is going to happen, and then you're able to accept it, and then you're able to learn to manage what you manage yourself, realize how, and that's different for I think everybody, but managing it in your mind and in your heart. I know that I've had to learn, during COVID, for example, I was calling my dad every day because he wanted me to and he needed that, and that was fine. But now that we're progressing out of that, I maybe call him once a week. And that helps me because, I'm not on the phone texting his pastor and, his other church members, updating my mom and other things. And it ends up being a lot of time, not just to talk to him, but to talk to other people, to let them know how he is doing. And not that I mind doing it every day either. I'm not saying that. I love my dad and love talking to him, and same with my mom and all these other people. But it is a lot. It's a lot emotionally on a person. And so what you said about managing expectations and just understanding how to best navigate this yourself is so, I think, important. That's one big thing I've learned for myself, is just that. Anyway, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you're just speaking my language there, because I think the more you understand about something, the less daunting it becomes. And you can take it in manageable pieces instead of being overwhelmed by it. So I think that instruction and knowledge is going to be really important, whether you're dealing with Alzheimer's or cancer or finances or marital problems or whatever. The more you can understand about what is actually going on, apply it biblically, and then try to live a life pleasing to God. And in the midst of it, see, this is what I think. There's a kind of a tension between man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. And what you have to do, I was told this by my teacher years ago. He said, we are to live our lives as if everything depends on us, you know, responsibly, to the best of our ability, work as unto the Lord. But you have to understand that everything actually depends on God. So it's his sovereignty that determines everything. But that doesn't absolve us of our own responsibility to live lives worthy of him.
Yeah, that's really well said. What advice do you have about dealing with a long goodbye that memory issues present to family members and friends?
You got that from my book, didn't you? The long goodbye.
Yeah, I just think it.
I think that it's such an appropriate description of this disease because, you know, it is a long goodbye. You say goodbye to them in little stages. And, you know, I specifically remember the day that my dad stopped being able to pray. You know, we would always say grace before a meal. And Daddy always had the same prayer that he did all the time. And one day, my mom and Dad and I were sitting down to lunch. And I said, Daddy, why don't you pray? And he said, Dear Lord. And he couldn't go any farther. He forgot his prayer that he had said many, many times. And he couldn't think how to get out of it. So I said, and bless his food. Amen. I had to get up. It was very emotional because I realized I'd already heard the last time my dad would pray. And so, you know, then there's the last time they recognize people or the last time they're able to smile or the last time they're able to engage. You say goodbye to bits and pieces of their personality, of what makes them who they are. You start grieving at the diagnosis and then the grief just kind of keeps hitting you until the end. But there are some pieces of advice I would give to people who are going through this difficult journey. And that is, because of what I just said, don't take anything for granted. You can't take anything for granted. If you're having a good day with your loved one, enjoy it. Notice everything. It might be the last time that you're able to see them this way. There may be a change next time you're with them. So don't take anything for granted. If they tell you, I love you, thank you for doing so-and-so, you better remember that. It might be the last time they tell you they love you, that they're able to tell you that. You know, so I would just say that. Enjoy them before they get to the point where they are dependent on everything. And don't let those little things go unnoticed. Another piece of it, very important advice is, don't argue with them. If they say something didn't happen to them, that thing never happened. Like an example is with my friend Judy. She would tell her father 10 times in a week, you know, that they have an appointment to go to the doctor on Thursday morning. Then Thursday morning comes around. He says, well, Judy, you should have told me we were going. I would have appreciated it for you to tell me that. Instead of arguing with him and saying, don't you remember you were sitting right here and I was here and I said this and you said this? They're not going to remember. You're not going to. And then they say, no, that never happened. Yes, it did. You know, you're arguing. You want to be right. You want them to know you did what's right. Well, Judy started doing this. Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. I thought I told you. End of argument. There's no argument. There's no stress. There's no frustration. She would just take the hit and she would say, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I told you that. Mm-hmm. I know an example from my story was that my dad would say at night, this is before they had to go live in a facility, an assisted living facility. But my dad would say at night, well, I'm going to go on upstairs. Well, my parents have never lived in a house with stairs. They've never lived in anything but ranch style houses in their whole life. My mother had to be right. She had to say, Joe, where are the stairs? Show me these stairs. She would take him out to the street and have him look at the house. There's an upstairs. Do you see an upstairs? They both wind up so frustrated. And she would talk to me and I would say, why don't you just say, okay, babe, I'll see you later. And just let him go on to bed. You know, who cares whether there are stairs or not? So my advice would be, don't argue with them. If they don't remember it, it never happened. You're going to both end up frustrated if you try to do anything else. Stay in the moment and don't argue with them.
Yeah, that's good
advice. That's hard to do, though, because most people want to be right. You have to be right.
Yep. I've had to learn that with, especially with my mom. My dad doesn't argue so much. My dad is very introverted, so he doesn't really share too much. But my mom and I, we've definitely clashed over this, and I've had to just realize in my better moments I do, but in my not so good moments, you know,
I wrote this book and my mom still pulls me into these things from time to time. I forget my own advice and I find myself arguing with her, and then I remember, maybe you are right. Yeah. Okay, end of argument,
and then you're just able to progress with the conversation. And you know, even though they'll repeat themselves, and which that's hard too, you know, but it's not worth it. It's not worth, just got to keep an even keel and just remember, you know, this is an illness and that they have, and you know, just keep going, you know.
And if they are repeating things and you've heard this story 15 times, I found it better not to remind them that they've already told you this, but just listen to it like it's the first time. And I did that a lot with my dad. And in fact, I would sort of use his dementia as a reason to give him excitement, because when he was in a nursing home, I would tell him, guess what? I'm going to bring mom to see you on Thursday. You are great. He gets so excited. And then in about 10 minutes, I'd say, oh, guess what? What? I'm going to bring mom to see you on Thursday. You are. You know, he'd get excited again. So sometimes I'd do that two or three times. he would forget in the meantime. So, hey, if it brings him joy, why not bring in joy several times? My husband said, he's probably thinking, she doesn't realize she's already told me that three times.
Nope. Yeah.
No, so just be patient with them. I guess that's the biggest advice, is that it's going to require a God-equipped sense of patience.
Yeah, definitely learning that more.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What are some effective characteristics that caregivers should have to complete their caregiving mission successfully?
That's a very good question. Well, certainly you need a caring, compassionate heart. You need a sense of humor, or you need to keep that sense of humor with you all the time, if possible, because sometimes it's the only thing that gets you through. You have to have the ability not to take things personally. That's another characteristic, because so many times things come out of their mouths that you cannot believe. And you have the ability, when you have the ability not to take it personally, you will be able to take care of your loved one better. Another thing is not to always want your way, because that does not exist anymore when you're dealing with somebody with dementia. You have to be very selfless instead of selfish. So selflessness would be a characteristic. And then, the last one I would say is, you need to have a desire to keep getting better at what you're doing and taking care of them. And that requires learning all you can learn about this issue and reading good books. You know, I think my book is wonderful. Of course, I love it, but there are other good books out there too. So just keep learning, keep growing in your understanding of how to take care of somebody with dementia. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think that's really good. You know, just what helps me is with anything, like you mentioned, everything is biblical. Just seeing them through that prism of, you know, my dad's a Christian, he's made in the image of God. And so seeing him through the eyes of Jesus, you know, and asking the Lord, help me to see him, you know, not through his dementia, but help me to see him as, you know, you created him and as you love him. And same with my mom, and that helps with everything. Helps deal with my anxiety about what's going to happen to them, not getting depressed or discouraged or anything like that. I just realizing that, hey, this is happening. And like you said earlier, God is in control and he's working. That doesn't minimize, some people think, well, that's just minimizes the emotion. And we're not against, as Christians, we're not against emotion. You know, it just helps put things, as one of my mentors said, the Christian life is all about your perspective. And it really is. It just keeps things, small and manageable and in perspective so that it doesn't just overwhelm you. Cause this, you know, on my worst days, this is so, like, I had one day recently, it was a couple days ago. I think it was Friday, last Friday. So this would have been, since we're recording August 30th, this would have been August 27th. And it was such a hard day because, you know, my dad had moved out of the hospital, assaulted somebody in his family home and on and on. And it was a really hard day. And then having a hard conversation with him that he can't treat people this way. And then he moving into a new place, he can't. This is his home. This the Army hospital isn't his home. This is his home. And he can't go there. And just having a conversation with the doctor about that and him recognizing, you know, that, and, you know, he's not talking to me right now. He's upset. And I understand that, you know, that he's upset because, you know, I had to give him the hard news. I'm willing to be the bad guy as long as he's happy, you know, and I don't enjoy telling my dad that, but what he understands is, as a military man, he understands order. And so you have to be able to speak his, whatever family member you have, you have to understand, you know, their personality, and you have to understand, you know, their background and what they understand. For my dad, that's military order, you know? So it's not a, dad, this isn't an option. This is where you're going to live. And this is how you need to, you know, you need to be kind and respectful. And he understands that. Understands that kind of language, and it's not mean. It's actually I'm trying to be loving to him in the best sense of the word. I care about him, and
tough love.
Yeah, and it's not fun to as the youngest son to do that. It's very hard. It's taxing. I feel, you know, after a whole day of writing, editing, recording all this, after that, then I'm having to deal with this. It's a lot. So that day was really hard. I sat there and I cried and I just, you know, Jesus wept. So there's nothing wrong with weeping.
No, it's a very frustrating and overwhelming situation. And there are times that you are at the end of yourself and you just have to turn it over to the Lord. And another thing to realize, Dave, is that just like God has determined your dad to have this this illness late in his life, and he is superintending your dad through this illness, but you are also being changed because of his illness. God is also working on you personally. He is honing you. He's turning you into the person he wants you to be, and he's using your parents' illnesses to do that. And that anytime God is working on you, growing you, making you better, smarter, more sensitive, more caring, he's chipping away. And that chipping away is painful. Yes. But, you know, if you look through scripture, you will see that God molds people into who he wants them to be. Right now, what you're going through eventually is going to serve to help others who are going through the same situation. You are going to be in a position to know and to be able to care for them and to help them. So this is really going to make Dave a better person. So just try to think, when things get overwhelming, try to think of that the chipping away process is painful, but it's beneficial.
You know, when we're comforted by, and Paul talks about how you're being, you know, oftentimes how the things that you go through are used to be a comfort. And that's kind of what you're talking about. You know, you go through things and you're able to comfort and you're able to counsel people. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
I call it the continuity of comfort, because you're comforted with the comfort that you receive from others. And then you're in a position, therefore, to become a comforter for others. And so it's just, it's like what I call it is the gift that keeps on giving. Because you learn to accept comfort, then you learn to appreciate comfort, and then to give comfort, to offer comfort. And if you hadn't gone through those other things, you would not be in a position where you would feel comfortable trying to comfort somebody else. I think God gives us experiences to grow us, but also to edify his people. And that's what we're in the process of doing right now, even with this podcast, is edifying other people, because we're trying to empower them in some way in their journey to take care of a family member or a friend who has Alzheimer's or dementia. It's very difficult. It can be very emotionally draining and taxing. I think you're finding that out.
Yes, yes, it is. And, you know, just keeping, like we talked about already, just, you know, managing the expectation and managing, finding ways that work for me. And I'd say that to other people, finding ways that work for you, you know, to that you can handle it, whether you talk to your parents or who a family member once a week or several times a week. You know, you just have to find the balance that works best for you, so you're not overwhelmed and those kind of things, you know, emotionally. And because it is very, like you said, it is very emotionally taxing, and it's difficult. It's not something that's gonna, it's not something that you can click your heels and you're in Kansas and it's gone. You know, it's not like the flu or anything like that. It's there and it's gonna keep progressing. And just managing your expectations, figuring out what works for you. And I would say one other thing is for people is get a close group of friends and that you can really share with, and ask God, even ask the Lord to give you a friend that really understands these things.
It's important to have a support group of, even if it's just one friend, but if several of you can meet together. And you'll find that, you know, when I was talking about sense of humor, when you're thinking about it in and of yourself, it's hard to see the humor in that. But I've found that when I'm relaying these experiences to others, I make it kind of funny, and that they laugh and I laugh. And I find that the mood lightens when you're sharing it with other people, because number one, they're not laughing at your loved one. They're laughing at the situation because they have experienced it too. They know what I'm talking about. And so, yes, you're right. You're right. I should have said that, but too late. I didn't put that in my book, did I?
It's okay. It's okay.
But no, it's very important to find some support, especially Christian support, because the advice you get from unbelievers is going to be very different from the advice you'll get from believers.
Yeah, that's good. How can the local church help support family members with dementia?
You know, I've thought about writing a book about taking care of the caregiver, because the person with dementia has diminishing needs. You know what I mean by that? I mean, their needs become less, but the caregiver's needs become more. The caregiver is meeting the needs of the patient in most cases, or a loved one in most cases, but the caregiver needs continued, their needs are escalating. And so I think the church, in coming alongside their congregation, should do several things. The first is don't forget them. You know, a lot of times people with dementia are forgotten because people write them off. Oh, they've got dementia. I'm not going to call them anymore. Not going to go by there anymore. We can't invite them over anymore. Like I said, sometimes there's a stigma attached to it. But a church body needs to come alongside these people and don't forget them. Go by and see them, a call or a visit or a handwritten note. I mean, you know, sent through the mail, you know, that they can open and hold. I mean, that's important too. But also looking to the needs of the family and looking to the needs of the caregiver, especially when that church member with Alzheimer's lives with the caregiver. You know, it becomes a total luxury to be able to soak in a tub without having to worry about what he's getting into or what she's getting into. Or, you know, so, and things like going to the grocery store, mowing your yard, you know, weeding your flower bed. You don't have time for those things anymore. You've got to give 24/7 attention to the caregiver, to the a loved one. So if somebody can come alongside, and please don't do this. If there's anything you need, call me. I'm there for you. Mm. All right. They never call you. So what you need to do is you need to tell them what you're going to do. We thought we'd stop by later. What can we pick you up from the grocery store? You know, hey, we're coming by later. We're going to bring you some cookies. While I'm there, I think I'll go ahead and mow your yard if that's okay. Don't ask. Don't wait for them to ask you. You just go ahead and do it. Do these things. How about this one? We're going to come over and sit with blank so that you can just go out with friends, have a lunch, take a bath, you know, go read a book, go do things in the world, you know, go to a movie, go to a football game, you know, whatever. Just to give them some relief so that they're not there 24/7. Then there are the spiritual things that a church should do. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray with these people. Many of them can still pray. Music seems to be the last thing that goes. So go and sing a hymn with them. They'll probably remember the words by heart. They can't remember what day of the week it is. But if you start singing Amazing Grace, they will sing every word with you, you know, in a lot of cases. Don't forget, you know, like there are some people that will take the Lord's Supper to them and make them feel like they're still a part of the church. They are. They're just an ailing part of the church. So I think a local church body should probably have a committee for people who are taking care of the caregiver as well as the ailing one. So I think there are many, many ways a local church body can serve a person with dementia, mostly just not forgetting them and not let that caregiver is going to start feeling very isolated and alone.
Yeah.
Don't forget them and just serve. Be servants. Good. We in the South, we have this thing about food. When anybody's sick, when anybody has a death in the family, if anybody goes to the hospital and comes home, if anybody has a baby, if anybody moves into a new house, everybody brings food, okay?
That's nice.
So food is the most obvious thing for people down here in Arkansas. We take meals to people. So, but there are other ways you can serve besides food. Mm. Food's good. Food's good. Don't forget food. But there are other ways that you can serve as well. And helping that caregiver get out of the home for a while is invaluable. So just saying that.
That's a good thing. I would just say a couple things to pastors and, you know, elders. I would just say, if that's you, and we have a lot of pastors and elders that are listening, just be really intentional with that caregiver. You know, find out what's happening with the family. Like, for example, my dad's pastors and I talk regularly over text. He has one pastor that I talk to more than the others. And just communicating with him, and he asks, how am I doing? And, you know, he knows that, you know, I'm not in his church or anything like that, but, you know, he's just a good guy. He asks how I'm doing. They ask how can we be praying? How can we be caring about for your dad, you know? And, that means a lot, you know, that kind of question goes a long way, and it shows not only do you care about me as a person that's telling you what's happening, but it also says, hey, I care about my dad, care about your dad. I want to come alongside of him. I want to love him. And people really do love him and at his church and in the community. And that's, that makes me feel good. You know, it's in a way, it's kind of like my encouragement more than it's because he doesn't really understand. I mean, he understands, but it's more, I'm encouraged that he has that level of care, and it makes it easier to handle. So, and then having local friends to share with as well is.
You don't have to bear the burden on your own when you've got somebody like that to share it with.
Yeah. And I would just say, you know, that's one of the things that I'm a big advocate of. If you're going through a really hard time, that's why the local church is there. You know, that's why your pastor is there, you know, and if you're they're there to walk alongside of you, you know, mature Christian saints, they're there to walk alongside of you. And we really need that. And I feel whenever I open up and share about stuff like that with people that know what they're talking about or just the pastor, I always feel relieved and I feel helped and cared about myself. And that just helps me to be able to keep going. Well, Deborah, where can people go to find out more about your work online, either on social media or otherwise?
Well, they can pick up a copy of my books. My ministry is to help people who are suffering, who are going through suffering. So those are the kinds of books that I write generally. And so if they want to know more about me, more about my ministry, they can pick up a copy of my books and read. I've written my first book and probably the bestseller of all of them that I've written is called Sunsets. And it's a book about death and dying from a Christian perspective. And again, it's like a devotional and a nursing guidebook put together. So if people are dealing with somebody in their family who's dying, it is really, really a sweet book. And it also combines that with a fictional account of a hospice nurse taking care of a patient. Spoiler alert, it's me, but she doesn't have my name. I give her another name. But it's a very sweet book, and it also tells you what steps they're going to go through in the process of dying, what to do every step of the way. So it's invaluable when you're walking that walk with people. And then I've got another one of the books like this one, like the Alzheimer's book. I've got one for cancer, for people who are newly diagnosed with that. And then I've got one for loneliness. People are plagued with loneliness, especially now in this period of isolation. And it kind of helps people re-engage in life. I wrote it before COVID. So some of the suggestions about getting out and meeting people and things like that, you'll have to modify a little bit. But it's written specifically for people who have lost a spouse. And for whatever reason, it's very difficult for them to re-engage in living themselves, and they're living in a mourning state for months and months and years, and they can't seem to move on. Well, that's what that book is for. And then there's another one that I wrote with a dear friend of mine, Dr. Wayne Mack, and it's called It's Not Fair. And it's for people who think God didn't give them a fair break. They're kind of raising their little fist to God and saying, you know, why are you doing this to me? They're angry. And it kind of helps them to see the big picture again. And then another one is called Where is God in All of This? And that's not for somebody who's angry. That's for somebody who's just in despair or questioning. And then they can go there to It's Not Fair. And it talks about the purposes of suffering and what God is doing, bringing about suffering in our lives. So I'm always writing. So there's always a project in the works.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
So I would say go on Amazon, go on any Christian bookstore online. You can get my books there.
Yeah.
You can Google me.
That's great. That's great. Well, just as we wrap up, Deborah, can you give us a few takeaways from your book and this conversation, please?
Well, the most, you know, I was talking about knowledge is power, and I wanted to bring up two books that were really important when I was researching this topic. And one is a book called Losing My Mind, and it's Losing My Mind, An Intimate Look at Life with Alzheimer's by a man named Thomas DiBaggio. And he is diagnosed with Alzheimer's at the beginning of the book. And then he, in his own words, he's very articulate. And in his own words, he talks about the process of going deeper into this illness. And by the end, the editors have left his writing like it is, and you can just see the digression and thought process, but it's very illuminating about Alzheimer's. And then also, there's another one called Coach Broyles' Playbook for Alzheimer's Caregivers. This is the best one that I read that offers practical suggestions and how to take care of people with Alzheimer's. And it's written by Coach Frank Broyles. He's from Arkansas. But it really, his wife had Alzheimer's, and he tenderly cared for her. And he wrote this book, and it doesn't have any of the spiritual element that mine has, but it is full of practical suggestions. And I would say that would be one that everybody who takes care of somebody with dementia, they should have one of my books, mm-hmm. and they should have Coach Broyles' book. So I did want to do that. And then the next thing is I want to address the people who are taking care of somebody with dementia. And I just want to say thank you for doing what you do. This is an often exhausting, thankless position that you're in. Thank you for doing that. And it often feels like you were saying, Dave, if it's the flu or cold or something, there's going to be an end in sight. But often with people taking care of somebody with dementia, it seems endless. There's no end in sight. And the end will be death. And you don't want to wish for that. You know, you love these people. So you're in kind of like you're exhausted, you're drained. There's no end in sight. But often you don't want to leave it to anybody else because nobody could do it as well as you do. So you're in kind of a confusing situation. And when you're taking care of somebody with dementia, oftentimes it feels like your life is on hold. You can't really get involved in anything. You can't really travel. You can't really be out of pocket for any length of time. And you can't really get involved with stuff without interruption. So often, I'm not trying to make it sound like it's all bad, because there are certain wonderful things about taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's. There's a feeling, a sense of gratification you have, knowing that you're doing a very important work, and knowing that to that person, whether they realize it or not, you're their lifeline. That's very heady stuff for you to be that significant, that integral in somebody else's life. But oftentimes you're never thanked for it, and you feel unappreciated and abused. And so I want to say, anyway, I know how it is. I've been there. I'm still there with my mother. And I want to say thank you for what you do. It doesn't go unnoticed.
That's really great. And I just want to say thank you for what you do for your mother, too. It's appreciated.
Yeah, she's happy right now. And that's huge to me.
That's awesome. Well, Deborah, you've done a wonderful job in the course of this our conversation today. Guys, the book is Help Someone I Love Has Alzheimer's. I want to, from Shepherd's Press, as part of the Lifeline series. And I'm going to be a fellow contributor to that series as well. So,
you are?
I'm writing on contentment, Help I Can't Find Contentment. So I'm not sure. I still have to write the book.
One final takeaway that I want to mention is that even though this position feels very much isolated and that you're alone, if you are a believer, don't forget that you are never, ever alone. God has promised that he will not leave us or forsake us. We are to cling to him. He is always there. He's holding us by his righteous right hand. So even when it feels like we're alone, don't forget in your head and in your heart that we are never alone. He is always with us.
That's so good. Thank you for that. And for the time that you've given to us today, Deborah, we really appreciate it, guys. Go ahead and pick up this excellent mini book. It's called Help Someone I Love Has Alzheimer's. You'll be blessed by reading it. And thank you so much, Deborah, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.